Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk is one of the shows featured on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. CSNP has a lineup of rotating shows throughout each month. Mondays featured Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez. She alternates her talk in English and Spanish in different weeks. It can't be Tuesday without Circle Talk, and I continue to be the host for this fun show on the first and third Tuesdays of every month. Wednesdays feature nature spirituality with none other than Selena Fox. Are you in the mood for some magic? Then you'll want to tune in on Thursdays for Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing. And CSNP is featuring a new podcast, Blue Marble, on the third Friday of each month. Blue Marble is hosted by Circle Sanctuary Minister, Environmental Activist, and Eco-Chaplain Char Bear. We have such fun and informative lineup of shows, and we at CSNP hope that you try them all. PSG, or Pagan Spirit Gathering, is one of America's oldest and largest nature spirituality festivals. After 2 years of virtual PSGs, we are looking forward to opening the gates in June and welcoming home the sacred community in person. PSG will be held June 19th. Through June 26th at the Pulaski County Fort Leonard Wood Shrine Camp near Waynesville, Missouri. Come out and enjoy 8 days of community, workshop, music, rituals, festivals, and more under the solstice summer sun. For the safety of our community, our home, and the communities that we travel through till we get there, COVID vaccination is required for all eligible to receive the vaccination in order to come to PSG 2022. Want more information or want to register? Go to www.circlesanctuary.org and click on the PSG link on the right side of the main page. Come out and register and join us for 8 days of community music workshops and more under the summer solstice sun. Are you curious about astrology? I would like to know more about your sun sign, including self-care affirmations to optimum strategies for healing and transformation? Well, you're in the right place. Tonight on Circle Talk, we are chatting with author Carmen Turner Schott on her book, Sun Signs, Houses, and Healings. Carmen Turner Schott is from St. Louis, Missouri. She has an MSW, LISW, is a practicing clinical social worker, psychotherapist, and astrologer with national and international clientele. She works as a sexual assault prevention and response program manager and has worked with victims of trauma for over 25 years. She has presented astrology workshops and e-groups for the Association of Research and Enlightenment, and she's a founder of Deep Soul Divers Astrology. If you want more information about that group, please go to the website at www.8and12houses.com. That's her website. If you want more about Deep Soul Divers, go to the Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com or www.deepsoudiverseastrology. It's DeepSoulDiverseAstrology. She also has a YouTube channel. So go on YouTube and look under Carmen Turner Schott. Let's welcome Carmen to Circle Talk. Welcome.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to have you here. So for our listeners to get just to get started, for those who may be new to this path or just kind of seeking out, tell me what astrology actually is.
Yes. So astrology is, to me, a map of the soul. It really is a psychological tool that anyone can learn the basics of I think a lot of times people shy away from astrology because it has a lot of math and they think that it's too complex to learn. But my goal is to teach astrology on a basic level and to make it understandable for anybody to pick up my book and read it and understand more about themselves and others. And that's really my goal of writing and doing the astrology work that I do. Astrology is a science. And so to me, it's like psychology. You know, when I read about my sun sign for the first time when I was 16 years old, I thought, wow, how is this so accurate? And I just had to find out why and how that this book on astrology could just analyze my soul and deeply explain who I was and how I reacted to things. And I just started studying, and I taught myself astrology from age 16 to 19, and I started doing consultations when I was in college. And when I do someone's chart, it's really important for me just to explain their personality traits, their strengths, their gifts, their emotional nature, you know, what type of careers are good for them, what type of, you know, weaknesses and challenges they might have in their life. And my goal is to help people understand more about themselves and others, and that helps in all areas of life in a practical way. That's my goal, is to make this a practical tool for anyone to use in their work, in their life, in their family, with their children, with parenting, with all of those things. And and it's fun. It's exciting. It's fun. And I really, it's a part of my life. It's a part of who I am. So in all of my normal jobs, you know, as a social worker and counselor, I always ask people their birthday, you know, when are you born? You know, you're Scorpio. And I'll kind of tell them a little bit, like, that's strange. I am. How did you know that? And I kind of educate people and plant those seeds in my life. And I've been doing that for about 25 years now. And it's just one of my great passions, my great love, is teaching people about astrology and writing about it. And that's what this book is really about, is showing people how this tool can help you learn how to heal, how to become more resilient, which utilizing your personality, you know, strengths and personality traits to overcome loss and grief and challenges in your life. And each sign has all of those gifts within themselves, you know, to overcome anything that life throws at them. So that's kind of what this book's about.
That is so fun. Now, I know just a tiny bit of astrology to be dangerous, and I've actually many years ago had someone who read who did a chart for me. And I have to tell you, it is a little unnerving. I thought she was psychic. I thought somehow she was reading my mind, because she actually knew things about me, about my personality. Do you have that reaction when you work with someone?
Yes, definitely. When I first started studying this, I really got interested in the 12th and 8th houses in the chart. You know, in astrology, there's 12 houses, which are 12 areas of life. You know, we have the house of career, health, death and transformation, marriage and partnership, home and family, identity, friendship, groups, money. You know, there's all of the 12 houses rule certain areas. And what I started collecting research on was most of the people that I met that had the sun, their sun sign placed in the 12th house in their birth chart, they had an absent or missing father figure. And I started noticing this, you know, and just doing charts for free when I was 19 in college, and as I got older, and I realized there is something to this. And I wrote a couple articles about it, and I had people open up to me. And I remember saying these things to someone, and they would start crying. And they're like, how did you know that? And I'm like, this is based on my experiences with doing people's charts for many years. And they just would cry and open up to me. And what I realize is that astrology is energy, and energy exists, you know, in the world as we know. And, you know, I'm also an Akashic Records consultant. So I studied how to open, you know, the Akashic Records, which is what Edgar Cayce did, which I learned a lot about that in his work. I've studied Edgar Cayce and his readings for a long time. And I realized that when I open up someone's soul record to do an Akashic Records reading, it mirrors the birth chart. The birth chart and the record,
really?
The energy is exactly the same, Debbie. Yes, it's so validating. And I've been kind of testing this out. So I offer both, you know, consultations to people. And recently I had a girl that said, well, I've already had my chart done and I know my chart, and but can you do an Akashic record reading for me? Because I've never had that. And I did not have her chart. I had was her name. And I opened up her record and shared the symbols and all the things that were shared. And I saw her working with animals and as a veterinarian. I saw all these very specific details. And when I and she sent me her chart later, she's like, I'm a veterinarian. I work with dogs. And she had a
Isn't
ton of
interesting
planets. Yeah. And so I'm like, it doesn't surprise me. Your chart is your destiny. And I believe 100% that God, the creator, created astrology. And it is part of the Bible. It's part of ancient cultures. It has been around for since the beginning of time, and it is not evil. It is not it's not bad. I wrote an article called Astrology. Why is astrology considered a cult? You know, because it really wasn't secret. You know, the Catholic Church and even the Bible, Jesus spoke about astrology. It's in the Book of Revelation.
Right.
You know, it's all through Scripture. So I've really spent my life trying to educate people about how astrology is part of our religion and our culture of our past, you know, and back into Kabbalah and the ancient Jewish tradition, you know, all of it's connected, you know, all of it. So I could spend my whole life studying astrology and I'm still learning more. It's one of those things, there's so many different types of astrology and different things you can specialize in, like health and diet and relationships and karma and past lives. And there's just so much you can learn and so many. It's a lifelong journey. You know, it's a lifelong exploration. I always tell people, I don't know everything. I know a lot, but I'm always learning myself. And that's what I love about it. It's always exciting and new, and I'm always learning something new about astrology.
Don't you think, I mean, presidents, I remember famously Mrs. Reagan reaching out to astrologers. Don't you think that people are more open to it and people are less afraid of it than they were, say, 50 years ago?
Definitely, definitely. I actually just had someone ask to interview me last week about that exact topic. She was a writer. Yeah, a writer for a magazine, and she saw that I was a Christian astrologer, and she didn't quite understand what that was, and so she wanted to pick my brain, and I just talked to her and educated her about all of this, and she said, she asked me the question, her article was about how she feels like, you know, astrology has become like the new cool thing, you know, like everyone knows their top three, you know, their sun, moon, and their rising sign, and everyone is starting to be more open to astrology, and she wanted to know if I felt that people are leaving the church or leaving religion to study astrology and like that's taking the place of religion. And I said, no, I said, they're connected. They are one and the same. You know what I mean? Because your birth chart is God's destiny for your life. Like you can't escape your birth chart. It is who you are. And certain things are destined to happen to you in your life. We have free will and choice, but there's certain, you know, life experiences that we have to go through to learn lessons and to become stronger and to get on our soul path. So I told her, I think it's connected. You know, you don't have to pick one or the other. They're actually one. They're the same. And so she interviewed me about that, and she sees a trend in the younger generation especially, and a lot of, you know, the older generation is open-minded to astrology. You know, especially I find that a lot of people that were raised Catholic are more open to astrology, you know, than I was raised Baptist. So it was, you know, I went through my own challenges of accepting that it's okay to study this. And it took me many years, but, you know, I overcame that. And I have a lot of Christians reach out to me and ask me for help. And I do have a little ebook out there, Astrology from a Christian Perspective, which is on Amazon. And it's just a series of articles that I wrote for an online website about astrology and the Bible and different things just to educate people, to open up their minds a little bit about it.
Well, it sounds like you're very open and open to many paths. You know, it was funny. I'm Wiccan. But I grew up in a Christian household, and I don't, you know, my mother didn't study astrology, but I remember her reading it from the newspaper, and I don't remember anything, you know what I mean, like that's bad or that's evil. I don't remember. The most I would say a lot of people that I grew up with maybe didn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
I don't know that people realize that it's a science.
Exactly. They just think, you know, when they read their horoscopes, it's hocus pocus. It's like, oh, that could be anyone. But when they really have their natal chart done professionally and really get an in-depth, it's like in-depth therapy in an hour that I do with people. Like they get so much information about themselves and they're like, it just validates everything they know about themselves. And they're like, yes, that's true. Yes, that's me. Yes, that happened to me. You know, and they're like shocked how accurate it is. And then they love it. And they want to learn it themselves. You know, they want to know how it works. And it is a language of symbols. So I think sometimes that scares people away because you have to know the symbols to be able to read the chart, because it's all the signs and symbols. And I just, you know, would write them down and study them, and I memorized them. And I spent many years just teaching myself the basics, you know. And, you don't have to spend a bunch of money to do it. You can just buy a bunch of books and just teach yourself and start learning the basics.
Absolutely. And I recommend they start with your book,
which
you can, as I said, can purchase on Llewellyn.com. We're a big Llewellyn fan, so I always guide people to their site. Well, let's do something fun. Tell me a little, let's talk a little bit about each sun sign. Can you just tell us a little bit about each sun sign?
Sure.
That you've learned?
Sure. So we'll start with the first sign of the zodiac, which is Aries. So Aries, you know, starts the spring season. It's when things are blooming, everything's new and exciting, and that's really the essence of Aries. They're a fire sign. They like to get things moving. They're go-getters. They're hardworking. They're full of energy. They like competition. They like a challenge. And a lot of Aries are athletic. You know, a lot of them are good at sports or enjoy competition and martial arts and things like that. Aries are known to be impulsive. They can have a little bit of a temper. You know, they get frustrated and lash out, but they get over it really quick, and then they're happy again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're romantic, passionate, and they love to be in love. So that's kind of Aries. They're the warrior. Aries the warrior.
Fun.
Yeah, and then Taurus is the next sign, the second sign of the zodiac, and Taurus is an earth sign. They're ruled by Venus, so they have like both a very stable, calming nature, but an artistic nature as well. It's funny, on a lot of shows that I watch, like American Idol and things, a lot of the singers, people that can sing, are Taurus. They have some type of Taurus energy. Yeah, they have because Taurus rules the throat and the voice, so a lot of Tauruses have a natural singing voice, actually, but they're known to be strong-willed, and they're the bulls. They can put those horns down, and when they make their mind up, it's very hard to change it. They're practical. They're grounded. They like stability.
Mm-hmm.
They like comfort. They don't like change. You know, they're hardworking. They're loyal. They're committed types of people, right? So that's Taurus. And then we have the third sign, which is Gemini. Gemini is air. And they're known to be the twin. So they have two different personalities, all right, the Gemini does. And so they can have a very friendly side and maybe more of a sarcastic, witty side, right, that's a little bit more intellectual. They're smart.
Mm-hmm.
They love to learn things. They are open to other cultures, other beliefs. They are drawn to – they need variety because they get bored easy. You know, they get restless. And Geminis like to be on the move, on the go, right? They're usually also good with their hands. My uncle's actually a Gemini, and he can play the guitar. He's a carpenter. He can build things. He's an artist. He's amazing, and he's really good at computers and technology. You know, so Geminis kind of are the jack of all trades. You know, they're very highly intelligent, but they're also very into communication. They love to talk. They love to share knowledge, and they love to be social and friendly and make friends and that's kind of the Gemini's way, right? And then we have the fourth sign, which is Cancer. And I believe you said you might be a Cancer, Debbie. And
right, I'm a Cancer.
Cancers are water signs, and Cancers rule the home and family. And so having a secure home life and a stable home base is so important to a Cancer. You know, they love to be home. They love to be have time by themselves to reflect. And Cancers love water, of course, you know, being near water, or even if they don't like to swim, if they can look at water, it can be very peaceful and healing for a Cancer. They're the mother of the zodiac. So they love to nurture and take care of people. And a lot of them go into social work, nursing, child care, and career fields where they can take care of the sick and people that need help because they're natural caregivers, the Cancers are. And Cancers have another side of them, too. They have the shell. So they can, when they feel vulnerable, they can put that shell up and they can protect themselves. And they can also be a little bit controlling and possessive, and they can be emotional worriers. And so all of those kind of things rule Cancer. And a lot of Cancers are chefs. A lot of them are good cooks. They like to
That's cool.
Yeah. And they like to be they like nature. They like flowers and the outdoors and gardening and things like that. And then we have the Cancer. We have Leo, which is the fifth sign. Leo's ruled by the sun. So if you in our world, you can see that a lot of politicians and actors and musicians are Leos, you know, like Madonna, Jennifer Lopez, you know, President Obama, President Clinton, they're all Leos, right? So they shine when they're up in front of people on a stage, when they're out in the public eye. So a lot of Leos have a lot of good luck with achievement and reaching goals and being known for their talents. You know, Leos can be very charming and generous and loving and affectionate. And they also are like the king and queen of the zodiac. So they like to give orders and they like to be in charge, right? And they like to tell people what to do. And so they love for people to respect them and value them and admire them. And, you know, that's the quickest way to a Leo's heart if you tell them you appreciate
it. It's funny. I think Martha Stewart is a Leo.
Oh, is she?
So
okay,
she fits
that
into
sense.
That. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, Leos are, they're very confident. They're self-assured. And they just have this energy about them that people notice. You know, they walk into the room and they just seem very, you know, regal and sophisticated, right? And they're known to be attractive. People are, you know, attracted to them. They're attractive. They have this strong presence, right, and confidence that comes out of them. But, yeah, they can be playful and fun. You know, they rule the fifth house, which is the house of children and love affairs and taking risk and gambling and all those fun things. So that's Leo. And then we have Virgo, which is – I'm a Virgo, so I'm a sun sign Virgo. My husband's a Virgo and my daughter. And my husband and I are born the same day, actually. And my daughter missed it. She missed it by 1 hour, but I always joke, you know, my husband's 5 years older than me, so we have a very different chart, but we both are similar in personality, and I think that's why we've been able to be married for 23 years, because we're both very, very, we like our alone time. We both like to be home and like peace and harmony, and we like to think. I love to write, which is a Virgo thing, writing, teaching, talking to people like on the radio like this, you know, Virgos love this kind of thing, right? You know, just learning about people and having a good conversation, you know, that's a Virgo thing. And Virgos get a bad reputation sometimes, you know, in my book I share about it, you know, that they can be, you know, picky or perfectionistic or neat freaks. And they are worriers, you know, they're ruled by Mercury, which is very much about the mind. So they're always thinking and they're always analyzing things. And they're a little bit shy, but they also are earth signs. So they're doers. They're known to be workaholics. You know, they work hard. They like to achieve things in their goals, but they like to take care of people. A lot of Virgos go in. They're like Cancers. They go into the healthcare professions. They go into counseling, social work, the medical field, and animals. Small animals are represented by Virgo, the sixth house. So a lot of Virgos like having a pet. Yeah, a little pet, like a little therapy dog or cat. Is known to be a Virgo thing. It brings them a lot of comfort to have animals. And so that's kind of a Virgo thing. And then the seventh sign is Libra. And Libra is interesting because it's the one sign out of the 12 that is not ruled by a living thing. You know, each sign has its own, you know, symbol. It's all, you know, element, and it's ruled by the metal scales of balance. So, and the reason, the interesting thing is that Libras rule marriage and partnership and companionship. So they rule the seventh house in our chart. So Libras always find out who they are through having a partner. So Libras don't like being by themselves. They don't like being alone. You know, they're an air sign. They're ruled by Venus, but you know, extremely smart. They like to read. They like to learn things. They like to know things. And they have another side of them is they love peace. They love harmony. They dislike conflict. And they will avoid it like the plague. So they're, I have a lot of friends that are Libra. I don't know what it is. I attract Libra females as friends. And they are so indecisive. They just, they're like, Carmen, make the decision. I don't know where I want to eat. Sound good. I'm like, let's go here. Okay. So they're easygoing, and they just don't really like making decisions, and they don't like to upset anybody. You know, they want to have peace and comfort all around them. But they need to have a relationship partner and to have a healthy relationship, because that is so important to Libra, is that they can have that supportive partner to look after them and support them in their goals, and they can achieve a lot if they have that. And they're usually artistic and creative as well. A lot of Libras are artists and musicians and teachers, and they love creating things, making things. So they have kind of both sides to their nature, Libra does. And then we have the eighth sign, which is Scorpio. And Scorpios are one of the most intense and passionate signs of the zodiac. You know, they rule death and rebirth and resurrection and transformation, and they're natural healers. So Scorpios are secretive. You know, they're very private, and they don't like to be vulnerable. You know, they're really good at getting people to tell them all about your problems. You know, they draw secrets out of people. But it's very, very hard to get to know a Scorpio, because they're very picky and very selective on who they trust. It takes a long time to gain their trust, but once you do, they're very loyal and very protective of their loved ones. So Scorpios are very strong people, very resilient. They're probably one of the most resilient signs, actually. I talk about it in the book, because they experience a lot of loss in their life, and a lot of Scorpio sun signs that I meet, they typically lose a loved one at a young age, you know, a parent or a sibling or a grandparent or a friend, and they have to go through grief and what that's like to lose someone. And so a lot of them are spiritual. They're drawn to, you know, drawn to spiritual things like astrology and tarot and metaphysics. And they want to know about the soul and the afterlife, and they're really open and drawn to that. And they're very psychic and intuitive signs, which all the water signs really are. Cancer as well is one of the most intuitive and sensitive and psychic signs, and so is Scorpio. So they both share that in common. And then we have the ninth sign of the zodiac, which is Sagittarius, the archer. My mother is a Sagittarius, and she's a free spirit. You know, they're free spirits. They love to travel. They love to be on the move, on the go. She can't sit still in her house. She's got to be out driving in her car, you know, just around town, right? You know, and outside walking and in the house. She's on her feet, always doing something. They love to be on the go, and they love to learn things, and they love different cultures and different religions and different people and all of those things. They're very intelligent, but they need to be outdoors and get fresh air, and being cooped up can be really hard for them, because they love freedom and movement, and they're one of the signs that they can have a hard time committing, you know, in relationships, because they just value their the ability to do what they want to do when they want to do it. You know, they don't want to be told, or, oh, you can't do that, you know, we have plans. They like to be able to be free and to do what they want, right? And I love Sagittarius.
Then they probably do well with another Sagittarius.
Yes. And they're actually one of the most positive signs, because they're ruled by Jupiter. So a lot of Sagittarius are so optimistic and positive. They always see, like, the glass is half, you know, half full, not half empty. You know, they always try to see the silver lining, and they can snap out of, you know, challenging life situations based on their optimism, and they can move forward, and they think about what they're grateful for, and they have a lot of faith, and a lot of belief in a higher power. And I think that's because they ruled the ninth house, which is the house of religion and philosophy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Travel and all those cool things and learning things and always a forever student, I would say. They love to read and learn. And then we have the 10th sign, which is Capricorn. Capricorn, I have a lot of them in my family. I got my grandfather, my dad, and my brother, and my best friend are all Capricorns. And they're all born the first week of January. Yeah. And so I have a lot of Capricorns around me, and I just love them because, you know, they're very, very down to earth, very dedicated and hardworking. They're very quiet, introverted types of people, but they like, if you get them where they feel comfortable talking to you and open up, they're very loyal and they are forever friend, and they'll do anything for their loved ones. It's hard for them. They're very serious and responsible from a young age, and they just have a lot of heavy burdens on them. And they're always, you know, feeling like they want to be successful and they want to achieve mm-hmm. things and they want to provide for their family. And, you know, they're really into being realistic and practical and making money to provide for their loved ones, right? And so their life is focused on achieving things. And so as they get older, you know, it's important for them to also nurture their emotional side, because they get so into the practical side of life and material things that they can sometimes forget that there's more to life than just achievement, right? And so
right.
Capricorns are also known to have a dry, witty sense of humor that kind of comes out when you don't expect it. And my
mm-hmm.
mother used to say that about my father, and I was like, my dad's not funny, right? And then as I get older and he's getting older, I can see my dad is pretty funny. He's got kind of a funny side to him, you know, that makes you laugh. So Capricorns are always known to kind of shock you with their sense of humor. And then we have Aquarius, which is the 11th sign of the zodiac. And Aquarians are an air sign, and they rule technology and the future and friends and groups and humanitarian efforts and causes. And they also are the free spirit. They are the one that's innovative, that's eccentric, that likes to be different. You know, it reminds me of my daughter. My daughter's 18, and she's got a little bit of Aquarius
mm-hmm.
energy. So, you know, she likes to dye her hair different colors, and she wants to get mm-hmm. piercings, you know, and things like this, just to kind of be unique. And they don't want to fit in and be like everyone else. They kind of buck tradition, right, and question religion, question tradition, and they're really into science and technology and helping people in a broad scale, right, in a humanitarian way. So, you know, I love Aquarians. They're known to be a little bit emotionally aloof and detached, but they, you know, that's because
mm-hmm.
they're an air sign, you know, they're always in their head thinking. But they're also very friendly, and they have a lot of acquaintances, and they actually rule the house of friendship. So they make great friends. And then the last sign of the zodiac, the final one, is Pisces. And they're the fishes, you know, the two fish. And they're a water sign. And they're, out of all the water signs, they struggle the most with sadness and depression and loneliness. And that's because they don't have protection. You know, Cancer has the shell, and
mm-hmm.
Scorpio has the sting of the scorpion to protect itself, right?
Right.
And Pisces is out in that water just flipping around and darting back and forth. And they sometimes trust others too easily, and they can be taken advantage of because they're so compassionate and so kind and so spiritual and very artistic, very creative types of people. Musicians, a lot of musicians and artists are Pisces, and they love to help people. A lot of them are drawn to therapy and to social work and nursing and counseling as well. And Pisces, you know, can cry very easily. I had a lot of friends that are Pisces, and if you cry, they'll cry. They're empathic. You know, they take on
mm-hmm.
other people's emotions, and if they're stressed in the environment, they take it on and they feel very drained. So it's important that they replenish their energy and that they have that time alone to meditate and pray and be by themselves, to do things they enjoy and to isolate themselves a little bit. You know, they're the sign of the escapist. So escapism through drugs and alcohol, for instance. A lot of people that have 12th house planets, which is the house that Pisces rules, or Pisces
mm-hmm.
energy, can struggle with addictions, which could be work addiction, food addiction, alcohol addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be many things, right? Addiction can take because it's a way for them to escape and cope from how intense right. of emotions they feel, because they feel everything. They're just wide open, you know. And so those are kind of the basics of the 12 signs, just some of the key interesting things about them that I wanted to share.
Now, I know when, and I know that's the sun sign, and everybody's real familiar with the sun signs, but the moon sign and the other houses, they can say as much about your personality as the sun sign. Is that not correct?
That is correct. I'm actually writing my new book for Luella, and I'm writing about the moon signs. Moon signs, houses, and healing is going to be published next summer. And so I have a book all about the moon. So the sun is your main identity. It's your main personality that you show to the world. And then depending on what house it's in, that's what area of life that you show that side of yourself. Now, the moon sign to me is probably, it's just as powerful as your sun sign. So it's important to know both, because your moon is your emotional nature. It's your instinctive nature. It's how you react to things, how you instantly feel. And, of course, you know, emotions and feelings are such a big part of our life. You know, they really motivate us to
right.
act. And so knowing your moon sign is so critical, because if your sun and moon sign are different, you'll have two different sides of your personality that you'll be balancing.
Right.
You know, and so the moon sign is also associated with the mother figure, and the sun sign is associated with the father figure in your natal chart. So you can learn a lot about your relationship with your father and how you perceive them when you know your sun sign. And then when you look at the moon sign, you can learn a lot about how you perceived your mother and maybe how you experienced your mother growing up, and then how you are as well emotionally. So both of those are very important.
That's really fun. Well, I know you talked, I heard you say when you talked about Scorpio, you mentioned being resilient. What does that mean, and how does that play into astrology?
So the word resilience, you know, resilient means that, you know, the definition is like, you know, you can't, it'll bend, you know, you can bend something, but you can't break it. And
right.
that's how the human spirit is. So every sign has certain personality traits that are strengths. And those strengths help them move forward and let go of painful emotions and heal and move on with their life a stronger, better, more wiser person, right? And that's what resiliency is. It's picking ourselves up off the floor, dusting ourselves off, and we keep going. You know, we keep moving forward in life, and we don't let unexpected crisis and trauma hold us back. And
right.
Scorpio is, every sign has resilient traits. Every sign is resilient. And I have a little chapter in each chapter about each sign in my book about how each sign can utilize their resilient traits. But Scorpio, to me, is one of the most resilient, because they go through such deep personal change in their life. They're constantly emotionally dying and being reborn, and that takes a lot of courage and strength, and they're able to cut off their emotions, and they're able to be very calculating and practical and realistic, and that is such a strength to help them, you know, and pull themselves out of depression, pull themselves, you know, out of bed when they can't get up in the morning because they're sad. They have that ability to get up and say, I'm sick of this and I'm moving forward. I'm strong and I'm getting over this, right? So I see Scorpios as one of the most resilient. It's easier for them to be resilient, I guess I could say, than the other sign. That's my opinion.
That is so fun. Can you share a time where you had to be resilient, and how did astrology help you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. One of, you know, it's kind of like our personality traits can be a blessing and a curse, right? And
I hear that.
I've lost a lot of people unexpectedly through gun violence, actually. One of my friends, yes, thank you. One of my friends in high school, was accidentally shot and killed. She was 16 years old, and that
was the first person
I had ever known that had died. I never had a family member die, never been to a funeral, nothing. And when that happened, that changed me. And
that's so traumatic. Ooh.
It was so traumatic, and I still remember every single detail of the funeral and everyone's faces and everything I said and did, and my boyfriend at the time, what he said and did. You know, I remember everything, and it just felt unreal to me. And at that time, you know, I had to be strong, and that experience helped me later in life, actually during COVID, right before COVID hit, what was it? February.
2019.
Yes. I was traveling for work, and I got a call, and one of my old college friends was shot and killed at a community center here in St. Louis, Missouri. And I didn't believe it.
Right.
You know, I just didn't believe it. And I turned the news on, and there she was. And I have all, you know, that's my friend. And I have all these pictures of her and everything. And I know it sounds strange, but going through what I went through when I was 16 with my losing my friend, it helped me. It helped me overcome and get through losing my friend when I was older. And I want to say it wasn't as hard. It wasn't as hard for me. I was more at peace with it because I knew that she was in a better place, and I knew that she is at peace. And, you know, even though it was a tragedy, you know, I took it, I guess I could say I took it better than I would have if I never would have gone through that experience before in my earlier days. You know what I mean? So to me, I try to share my experiences that I've been through with others and share astrology and my chart, what I've learned from my own chart, because a lot of these experiences I've had, they're in my chart. Like I have a lot of 12th and 8th house planets, which is Pisces, Scorpio stuff. So I've had a lot of loss. I've had a lot of unexpected things happen that I've had to just completely, you know, face it and feel it and let myself have a good cry and then and try to, you know, move on with my life, you know, because we have people that love us and family and friends that need us to be strong. And that's what, you know, what my book is about, how everyone can heal. Everyone has the power to heal trauma, heal the past, you know, forgive and become resilient. And I believe we all have that inside of ourselves.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a Cancer. How does resilience come with cancers?
Yes, Cancer. You know, you're the one sign that likes to feel needed, and the more you can take care and help your family and help your friends and do things for other people, that motivates you. And and when struggles happen, you know, Cancers are ruled by the moon. You know, the moon is your ruler. So you have a lot of emotional ups and downs in your life, and that's normal. That's natural for you, right? And being able to feel, you know, allow yourself to feel emotions and have a good cry. And you know what? It's okay to say, I'm sad, I'm depressed. You know, you don't always have to pretend that you're happy, right? Because Cancers are always going through ups and downs of emotions, and that's natural for them. And it's okay to struggle. But you become resilient when you feel like you have a purpose. And when you have somebody, someone less fortunate, someone in need, someone that is, you know, really struggling, you feel better when you can just listen and offer nurturing and friendship and support to others. You know, whether that's making them chicken noodle soup and cooking them a home-cooked meal and delivering it to their door, they just a loved one, or whether that's helping someone at work that's overwhelmed because they had a death in the family, you'll take on their task and it'll help get the work done. So you're a caretaker, and your resiliency is tied to helping other people. And the problem is Cancers don't like to ask for help because you do not want to be asked. You don't feel comfortable asking for help. You try to do everything on your own, and you have to kind of start allowing other people to give to you and to help you and to care for you, because that's what you're so good at doing for others, right?
Yeah, I'm not very good at self-care. I'm great at other people, but not necessarily myself.
See, and that's the more you, you know, cancer, a lot of cancers I know, they benefit through journaling, you know, writing, poetry, you know, just writing their anger or emotions out on paper just to get it out of their body. That can be really helpful. And relaxing and being home and being cozy and comfortable. Cancers love to be, they need that time to withdraw from the world and to recharge their batteries, right? So they can go out and help people again. Yes.
What made you decide to write? You've written several books. This is not your only book. Tell us about your other books also.
Yes. So one of my first books was just a deeper look at the sun sign. So I just wrote an article about each sun sign, you know, for my – and I self-published that book. And then, like I said, I've worked with victims of trauma, specifically sexual abuse, sexual assault, for many years in my normal social work job. And I started seeing a pattern in people's charts where they had a lot of eighth house planets. And so I started researching that, and it was so – amazing to me, and it was just validating. So I wrote an article called The Mysteries of the Eighth House of Death and Transformation, and that was an article about my own life, you know, because I have the moon, Jupiter, and Chiron in the eighth house, and people wrote me from all over the world thanking me for the article. They said it made them cry, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So, you know, people are writing me on Hotmail. Yeah, and this was like back in 2004. And I started collecting all their emails and all their stories, and they would just share their whole life story on email with me, people from other countries and everywhere, other states. And I collected all of that, and I put it into a book called The Mysteries of the Eighth Astrological House, Phoenix Rising. And, you know, and the phoenix is the symbol of rebirth. And that's how I see Scorpio people and eighth house people, you know, they're survivors, and they're, you know, they might be a victim of things in their life, but they're really truly become a survivor and a healer, and they become wounded healers, right? And so I wrote that book for eighth house people that had reached out to me and that I had counseled over the years. So that book is out there on Amazon. I also self-published it. And then I wrote a practical look at the planets through the houses. And that book was going to be published, actually. And then the publisher decided there were too many planet books out, or planet in the houses books out there. So I just went ahead and self-published it myself, right, in like 2010. And it's out there, you know, on Amazon. And then in 2013, 2014, I was asked by about.com to write a series of articles about astrology in the Bible, and I did that, and I ended up putting those into an ebook, a Kindle book that's on Amazon called Astrology from a Christian Perspective, and it's a lot of my my articles about astrology and the Bible and all of my feelings about it. And then I have a series of articles. I used to publish, I used to be a columnist for a couple different spiritual magazines throughout the years. I got all those articles that I used to write and put them into an ebook called Astrology Awareness, and it's also on Amazon.com. And then this is my first big published book, though, with a true publishing company. So I just have always loved Llewellyn, and I sent a proposal in, actually about the 8th and 12th houses and, you know, what would be about healing. And then I came back and I said, how about healing and the sun signs? And they liked it. So I wrote it. So
good for you.
I wrote it. I have another book coming out with.
Tell us about that. It's about the moon.
Yes. The moon, it'll be moon signs, houses, and healing. And it's really going to focus on how each moon sign finds emotional fulfillment, how they find comfort, what they value, how they can self-care, and the moon through the houses. You know, you'll be able to look up what house your moon is in and learn more about your personality. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be – each chapter will be about each moon sign, just like the sun sign book. And I'm really excited. I'm almost done writing it. I'm actually – halfway through, and the final draft is due to my editor on 1 June. So I'm excited about it.
Fun.
And it'll be coming out next summer. Yeah.
Well, you will definitely have to come back on and talk about this new book. Well, now, what type of writer are you? Are you working full-time besides writing?
I work. I work for the Air Force. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. I worked for the Air Force for the past 20 years, and I'm a social worker.
Oh, good for you.
And I work in the sexual assault program. Yes.
Good. Well, I was going to say, are you disciplined about writing? I know some people, like they say, Tuesday night and Thursday night I'm going to write, and other people just write when the mood hits them. How do you schedule your busy life to write?
Oh, my gosh. That's a great question. I'm lucky that my daughter's older now because she's 18. So at mm-hmm. night when I'm done with work, it's peaceful. I write every night. I make at least a couple hours as soon as I'm done working. I'm writing. Every weekend, I'm on the couch with my pen and paper or my laptop, and I'm writing. And I just love to do it. And it's actually, I realize how healing it is for me
mm-hmm.
and how I haven't wrote a book in so long until I wrote this book. You know, it's been a while. And it
mm-hmm.
helped me express my emotions and my stress, and writing just helps me feel better. I just love it. I love to write. But I do get writer's block once in a while, and I joke because I'm typically always in the mood to write, and I'm always like, you know, it's flowing. But sometimes I get writer's block, but I notice that when Mercury's retrograde, which is happening right now, I'm like on a mission to edit this book, and I'm like totally up till midnight writing every night and editing, and then I get up, work, and then as soon as I'm done work, I'm editing on my computer, and I'm doing my hobby, which is writing books. So it's just like my side job. So
that is really, really, really fun. Well, I'm glad you have it. We get the benefit of that. So I think that's really, really, I think that's great. Now, do you ever go on book tours? Or, you know, COVID has changed so many things, but things are starting to opening up. Or is everything online now? People just buy things online.
Now I'm setting up to do a book signing here in St. Louis at a local bookstore. I think we're working to get dates now, so I would actually be in the bookstore and do sign my books and be live in person. And then I know there's a virtual option at a couple bookstores that they kind of
mm-hmm.
want you to do like a Facebook Live and a virtual book signing, and so that's kind of some things we're looking into. And then I have a lot of author copies of my book that were sent to me, and I am also selling those on my Facebook groups and to clients. And if anyone listening, you know, is interested in a signed copy of my new book, A Sunset House of Healing, I have some copies. You know, feel free to email me or contact me through my site, and I would love to send you a signed book if you're interested.
And, again, tell us what your Facebook page is.
Yes, my Facebook page, I have a couple of Carmen Turner Schott author on Facebook, and then Deep Soul Divers Astrology also is a Facebook page. And then you can contact me through my website, which is www.8and12houses.com.
Do you still do private consultations?
You know, it's a great question. Through these years.
Or is that on hold because you're writing?
It has been on hold. I tell you, I turn people away. I hate to do it, but I say, you know, I'm just mm-hmm. I'm not in the place to always do a consult. It has to be,
mm-hmm.
I guess, meant to be. The energy has to be right because it takes a lot of energy to do consults. And
mm-hmm.
my purpose has really been, you know, focused on the writing. I feel like I'm meant to write. I'm not really meant to do, you know, the charts like I used
mm-hmm.
to. I used to do like 8 to 10 a week and for years.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't
That's
have,
a lot of energy.
I just don't have that energy anymore that I'm getting older. And so once in a while somebody reaches out and I tell them, as long as you're willing to wait and if it feels right in the moment, I'll try to do it. And then once in a while I do it. I did Akashic Record consult for someone. And I also use that when I do someone's birth chart. I kind of, you know, use both in what I do. But sometimes I just can't, and I just tell them I'm sorry. Maybe, you know, try in a couple months, or I give them referrals to other astrologers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, people that you know that are reputable. That makes smart, yeah.
That's what I do. I'm really focused on writing, and I know that that's kind of what I'm supposed to be doing. So that's what I try to prioritize, because there's not enough time in the day to do everything I love to do. So.
Absolutely. Well, our time is almost done. Give us a passing thought, or tell us something about astrology, a passing thought about that we may not know.
I'm going to give you an Edgar Cayce quote.
So yay!
One of my favorite Edgar Cayce quotes is, astrology is fact, but there's no greater power over man than his own will. So, and that's powerful, because your astrology, energy, your life, things that happen to you, the home you're born in, the parents you have, the luck you have, all of it is destined. But you have free will and choice how you respond to the things that happen in your life. And, you know, so astrology's fact, and it's real, and it affects us, and that's what the chart shows. But you always have free will and choice, and I always love that, because you're not a victim of your chart. You know, I have people come to me and say, Carmen, I have a hard chart. My chart sucks, right? My chart's so bad. I'm like, no, it's not. No chart is bad. There's not a bad chart. You just have challenges, and you have life learning that you have to go through. And all of us have our own, you know, all of us have karma. All of us have things we have to learn. No one's life is perfect, right? And so I always am very realistic and practical, and I really counsel people more than anything when I do their chart. I just, I give them tips. I encourage them. I focus on their strengths. And, you know, I don't get into the technical, you know, I do, you know, hit on some things like transits and different things that they need to know, but I make it very basic and practical when I do a consultation, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's my
style. Human nature is, you can tell me five great things and one not so great, and I'll focus on the one not so great.
That's right. That's right.
That's kind of human nature.
Definitely. Definitely.
Well, thank you again so much. This has been fabulous. And I look forward to talking to you again after your next book.
Thank you. Thank you, Debbie. I appreciate you having me on.
And remember, everyone, go to Llewellyn.com, purchase Carmen Turner Sock's book, Sun Signs, Houses, and Healing. And you, as she said, you can go to her website at www.8and12houses.com. And that 8 is the number 8, and the 12 is the number 12. So... and thank you again so much. Besides Carmen, I'd like to thank David and Jeanette, our sound engineers, for their technical expertise. And finally, I'd like to thank all of you out there, our listeners, for your continued support of all of us here on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, or CSNP. Remember, Pagan Spirit Gathering, registration's open. After 2 years of virtual PSGs, we're now going to be opening the gate in June, and we're going to be in person. It's going to be held June 19th through the 26th at the Pulaski County Fort Leonard Woods Shrine Camp near Waynesville, Missouri. Come out and have fun, see all your friends, and enjoy 8 days of community, music, workshops, rituals, and festivals, and more under the solstice sun. So for more information or to register, you can go to the circlesanctuary.org and click on the PSG link. You can't miss it. It's on the right side of the main page. So go and register. Join us. Our next Circle Talk will be Tuesday, May 17th. Join us as Elise Marie teaches us how to explore the power of nature by crafting plant-powered elixirs, oils, and creams to achieve ageless beauty and self-confidence. Her book, The Beauty Witch's Secrets, is our guide to uncovering these timeless secrets. So please join us. It looks like a fun Circle Talk. And I look forward to being with all of you all again. So come back. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
One spirit in the dark, like a candle wavers. Many spirits joined as one, burn with the power of the blazing sun. There is strength in community, a circle empowering you and me. The circle binds, yet sets us free, in the goddess name, so mote it be. One spirit in the dark, like a candle
Sanctuary Network Podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.